when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Thanks to everyone who supports Independent Tech News directly. If you're not already, become a DTS member right now at patreon.com/DTNS. This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, December 13th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And from a location that's undisclosed, I'm producer Roger Chang.
Except if you've listened to previous episodes, it's been disclosed.
Don't ruin it.
Hey, you know what? This is a time of year when a lot of people are hiding behind their screens. Try to get away from family or to just keep up on family events or all kinds of things. And of course, screen time has been a huge area of focus for criticism of and defense by phone makers and a lot of other technology makers. We're going to talk about ourselves, not you, but are we guilty of this? We're going to turn the light back on us. The judges shall be judged on this episode. But let's start with a few other tech things you should know.
Some more screen news of sorts. Samsung announced it will show off two versions of its Notebook 9 pen at CES. The fingerprint sensor has shifted to an easier place to use without hitting arrow keys. Either of its two Thunderbolt 3 ports can be used for charging now, but it only has one USB-C 3.1 port, a micro SD card reader, and an audio combo jack. No HDMI and no USB-C-A. The 15-inch device will include NVIDIA GeForce MX150 graphics card, although no pricing was announced for either that or the 13-inch model.
Google's Family Link app for parental control on Android phones now works on Chromebooks. Parents can whitelist apps and websites, set screen time limits, remotely lock devices, and monitor usage.
And Qualcomm filed a request with Chinese courts to ban the current round of iPhones. That's the XR, the XS, the XS Max. If you recall, a Chinese court ruled Monday that the older versions of iPhones, from like the 6 through the 10, violated two patents from Qualcomm and banned the sale of those, although Apple has continued selling them, arguing the latest version of iOS does not infringe those patents. And round the patent wars go between Apple and Qualcomm. Let's talk about some peace, though, being declared, Justin.
Mm-hmm. Back in 2015, Amazon removed the Chromecast from its online store, saying its new rule was to only sell streaming devices that supported Amazon's own Prime Video. But today, Chromecasts are back, a year after Amazon announced it would change course and sell them again. Third-gen Chromecast and Chromecast Ultra sell for $35 and $69, retrospectively, with Prime shipping discounts available.
Which, you know, a lot of people cried foul about this back in the day because Amazon said, well, you know, it's got to have Prime Video because that's, you know, that's our thing. But Amazon can dictate where Prime Video goes. So folks were saying, well, it's not so much that the Chromecast is not capable of doing that. It absolutely is. You just want to sell more Fire Sticks.
Yeah. Takes two to tango, right? If Amazon doesn't make an app for the Chromecast or make its app work with the Chromecast, then Chromecast can't do anything about it. On the other hand, Amazon could enable that and then Chromecast say, nah, we want to block it. That's not what happened, but I'm just saying it does take two to tango here. Chromecast seems to have always been willing to do this. Now, Chromecast selling in the Amazon store is different than Prime Video working with Chromecast. As far as I know, the Prime Video app still does not have a Chromecast button. We'll see if that eventually changes.
And between 2015 and 2018, there's been a marked uptick in people saying things like monopoly, anti-competitive behavior about companies like Amazon and Google. These are big decisions that they need to make sure that they stay on the right side of. It is not a question of if, it is a question of when there becomes more political viability in looking to challenge the holdings of the FANG companies.
So there, I'm when you say that, I'm imagining the conversation in the halls of Amazon between Sarah Prime Video and Laura corporate law attorney. Yeah. And Sarah's like, come on, no, I need to put more pressure on the Chromecast. And Laura attorney is like, you know, we just can't let you do this anymore, Sarah. I'm real sorry.
Sarah.
I'm sorry. it could be.
I was like, is it me? Like,
Billie
oh,
Jean.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, that was a bad pick.
Apple announced it will build a $1 billion campus in Austin, Texas. Woo. And build extra offices, build out new office space anyway, in Seattle, San Diego, and the Los Angeles area. Almost a year ago, Apple said it was going to look for locations outside of both California and Texas. Those are the two states where most of its employees work. The new Austin campus is a 133-acre site, roughly a mile from an existing site. Well, that's still in Texas. It will support 5,000 additional employees with the possibility to expand to 15,000 workers eventually. Meanwhile, CNBC is reporting that Apple hired almost 50 medical doctors to find answers to real medical problems and use Apple tools to help people deal with them.
So it's our Apple report of the day here. On the one hand, we've got Apple with their own take on the Amazon HQ. They didn't get the tax breaks for these things that Amazon did by doing like a big publicity a blitz.
Yeah.
But what their aim wasn't that so much as showing how many jobs they're bringing to America right now. And that's what they're going to be able to point to with these expansions.
Sure. Obviously, Austin is its own has its own exploding tech sector. And, you know, the existence of these jobs is something that will continue to be both a boon and a controversial topic whenever we discuss them. I think Austin specifically, as somebody who spent a fair amount of time there recently, has exploded population wise, and it is very much straining under that pressure. You know, the traffic is really, really bad, and some of the infrastructure is not quite there for it. But then on the other side, when Amazon moves to New York City and Washington, D.C., which is a big city that theoretically could get bigger, now the problem is, no, you should have moved it to some place that doesn't have these kinds of jobs here to be had. So I think this makes sense for Apple. But to your point, Tom, I think it's good they kept it a little quieter.
Yeah. And there were 6,200 jobs in Austin already. So this is just taking something that was already big and saying, hey, we're going to expand. It's kind of a natural thing for a company that is vying to be the biggest valued company in the world to do. You would expect that. Hiring on the medical doctors, though, and keeping medical doctors employed, really interesting, because it's an example of Apple saying, let's do something because we think it will have the result we want in our products, which is let's just fund doctors to do stuff. And I feel like that's kind of what they're doing with music as well. When they buy a label, like, let's fund musicians, let's fund doctors, let's fund journalists. They hired a bunch of journalists to work on their news app. Let's hire the people who do the thing that feeds our features. It's an interesting tactic that only someone with an Apple amount of cash could do.
Well, especially if you think about some of the new features that Apple Watch version 4 has, for example. You know, you got a heart murmur. Well, the watch might be able to tell you that. Okay, well, what if there's some sort of discrepancy and Apple has a doctor that is employed by the company who has great credentials and is able to, you know, provide more information about that or maybe squelch an issue? It is odd to me that Apple has hired, I don't know, upwards of 50 doctors, and I'm sure they're in various different fields. But yeah, it seems to be something that they're going pretty deep into.
I would say that your heart monitor point is kind of what they're looking for is hey, look, this was a big thing. It got a lot of great press. It sold me a watch because I bought one for my father-in-law who has heart problems. So they want more of that. Like, hey, this iPad, what can it do for your diabetes?
It'll save your life.
Get on here.
No, exactly. They want to be able to say their devices are saving lives more and more often. Time for a browser update. Privacy-focused browser Brave has joined Vivaldi, Opera, Google, Chrome, and soon Microsoft Edge in migrating to Chromium. Most of its user base has made the switch already, and it says you should see a 22% speed boost. Previously, Brave did use the Chromium page rendering engine, but that was it. They've now transferred on to the whole platform. Brave users will be able to use Chrome extensions, but they will not get access to integrated Google-based features like account login, sync, and search suggestions because they are privacy-based. Also, Opera announced in a public release of its Web3-ready Android browser. It's got its built-in cryptocurrency wallet, so you can download that for Android now. It supports Ether and any token using Ethereum's ERC-20 standard, as well as collectibles like CryptoKitties. They use the ERC-721 standard.
So this is something that I've certainly noticed the trend, but it seems, you know, overwhelming at this point that Chromium has kind of just become the new standard in web browsers, right?
Like, yeah, and we talked about it when Microsoft officially announced that they are switching to Chromium. I both love and hate this. I wish everyone was switching to Mozilla's platform because that is a true open source foundation accountable to no one. Chromium is open source. I'm not trying to undermine that, but it is controlled by Google. I think the more of these companies that get on the Chromium platform, though, the more pressure there will be for Google to stay out of it, to sort of... maybe even eventually spin it off into a more independent foundation that isn't so dependent on Google. And you could see the equivalent of a hostile takeover by Microsoft happening at some point in the future, possibly, as if they just put more and more people working on this browser.
Yeah, yeah. It is just kind of fascinating, though, that sort of took that stance, although this has been a very profitable thing for Google in the past, right? With Android being open source.
Well, we got all kinds of roundups. We've had an Apple roundup. We've had a browser roundup. We got another one.
Oh, Tom, it's time for a food delivery roundup. Instacart will start removing 1,415 workers out of 76 Whole Food locations in February. A source tells Recode that it will reduce Instacart's revenue by less than 5%. In the last year and a half, Instacart has signed on with Kroger, Aldi, Sam's Club, and Walmart Canada. And Postmates VP of Robotics, Ali Kashani, has led an effort to design and build his own delivery robot called Serve. Wired has a profile on it. It's about a meter high and it has an anthropomorphic face, including blinking eyes, a touchscreen on top for status messages, and LEDs around its body so it can that it can use to signal which way it intends to go. Postmates plans to use it to pick up and deliver either end of a trip while a car takes it from place to place. Delivery will begin in Los Angeles.
I don't know. We keep hearing about these. Like, wasn't Amazon going to have a bunch of delivery robots all over the sidewalks? And we all talked about this about a year ago. Like, oh, and people are going to
Starship. Starship. Oh, I hate it when Amazon gets everybody's mind share with their publicity stunts. Amazon made a video once, never did anything. Starship has been out there actually delivering things on their robots in the United States, in Estonia, in the United Kingdom. But now we're actually seeing a real competitor in Postmates coming up against it. And Amazon, yeah, I mean, they pretended that.
Well, all right. Okay. But, yeah. I have not seen a Starship robot. Doesn't mean that they're not, you know, out and about in the world, you know, on the Estonian streets. But the Postmates thing is interesting because as somebody who is very fond of her food delivery, and I use Postmates, sometimes I use Uber Eats, depends on where I'm getting it from and what the prices are. But if you see somebody who's delivering your food and they're on a bicycle rather than a car, because you can see that within the app, you know, half the time I'm like, oh man, now it's going to come cold. So this sort of thing is, it really matters what this whole kind of last mile is. Yeah. Because it does make sense that the car would probably do the lion's share of the delivery. So where is this AI robot?
I think this is genius. So the robot gets dropped off by a driver at a restaurant to do the waiting. That driver goes on to something else. They're done. The robot waits instead of a bunch of people waiting. The robot waits for the food to be put into it. As soon as it gets the food, it signals the nearest driver to come get it and drive it to the drop-off place. Then the robot gets out and delivers the food to you. That driver can go on to something else. And then as soon as you've taken the food out, it calls the nearest driver to come get it. So instead of drivers wasting a bunch of gas looking for parking or just wasting a lot of time sitting around when they could be making other deliveries, it puts some efficiency in the system, I think.
I'm 100% for this if this robot can take my food up to my apartment instead of calling me and making me come downstairs.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to do that.
If a robot can get up my stairs, Postmates deserves all the money.
I mean, I got an elevator. You just got to get into the door.
My big question before we leave this topic is this the future for Instacart? Because remember, Postmates does lots of things. It doesn't just do restaurants. It can do groceries as well. Could it get so efficient? Could these robots scale up? They'd have to scale up a little to give Instacart a run for its money delivering food. I don't know if I have the answer. It's just something I'm thinking about.
I'd like to see them actually in use first before we start having them take
the Starship ones were definitely in use in DC. BioCow used one in Redwood City. So they've been there.
They're not
everywhere.
I know. Yes, and let's do it in the playoffs.
Before we move on, I just a little note on Instacart. Clearly, when Amazon bought Whole Foods, the Instacart situation was not long for this world.
Yeah,
but I was surprised to hear that this would supposedly impact Instacart's bottom line by less than 5%.
I believed
the Instacart Whole Foods relationship was the only one that I knew of that Instacart had. Although clearly there are others.
I think I said, at least I'd like to imagine I said at the time, that all the other grocery stores are going to be as scared as Whole Foods is of, as yeah. Instacart is of losing Whole Foods, and they'll all team up, and maybe that will be Instacart's salvation. And it seems like that has happened.
Well, there's a prediction show coming up, Tom. Stock trading app Robinhood launched zero-free 3% interest checking and savings accounts, claiming that it has more U.S. ATM coverage than the five biggest banks combined. That's like B of A and Wells Fargo and the like. The card is a MasterCard debit card, and it's issued through Sutton Bank and starts shipping on December 18th.
This is genius. This Robinhood company is either going to crash out horribly or be the thing that everybody else should have been doing while it was doing it, because no cost transactions on stocks was a big deal. And their premise had always been, we're lean. We're leaner than E-Trade, Scottrade. You know, Scottrade isn't around anymore, but TD Ameritrade, any of those places, which is why we don't have to charge you fees. We'll just make money on the interest. Now they're saying the same thing about banks. They've got a little bit of a deal with MasterCard where they'll share some of that revenue, but they're mostly saying we're lean and we'll make money off of reinvesting in the savings just like any other bank, but we only have a few hundred employees and that's all we need because we don't have branches.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that this is oftentimes when you talk about disruption, which has become such a buzzword, I don't know exactly how much it means anymore. But to me, it is how few people do we need to do something? How radically can we do it? And how much does our success redefine the market around us? And with the other idea being, okay, if everything is inefficient, then the change will be more thunderous than it would be if it is an efficient business. And I think that, you know, stock trading and stuff like that has been a fairly static, stable kind of industry, largely because you don't want radical, crazy things happening when you're talking about investing your money, right? In general, the brands that we trust, they have commercials during golf and they involve a wealthy older couple talking about their grandchildren, right? Like the very marks of stability. So
I'm sorry, Justin, I couldn't hear all those reasonable things you were saying over the 3% interest I'll get not only on savings, but also on checking.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think that's really, really smart. And I think that we are kind of long overdue for this kind of thinking when it comes to banking. I mean, look, I remember I switched to Ally literally just because they promised that they would just reimburse all my ATM fees because we don't have ATMs.
And my credit union does that too.
It's that little thing where it's like, oh, wow, like, you know, I can get this. I can get a decent interest rate and I can have something that affects me on a daily basis. 3% interest is a very, very, very good number.
Now, BioCow in our chat room, who works in the industry, says, I'd like to see what ATM networks they support. I imagine that he knows there would be a way to claim they have more coverage and still not have very good coverage.
Right. Is it MasterCard's coverage or something like that? And I think, Tom, your point is, does this whole thing, you know, spectacularly flame out because it's just too good to be true? Is it too hard to get, I don't know, normal person who just wants their money to be safe in an institution that they've heard of and has been around for a century, you know, to switch over to a company where it might sound really good now, but are they going to be around in 5 to 10 years? Which would be one of my concerns as well.
I mean, Robinhood's been around for longer than I thought they'd be. I heard about them a couple of years ago from a friend of mine, and I didn't think they'd still be going, and here they are. So who knows? BioCast.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
He's going to look into this for us. So hopefully, if he finds anything, pass
the
it
cow
along.
Is on the case.
We'll pass it Thanks, along man. To you. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. Now, this is a press release news story. I just want to make it clear we wouldn't normally cover this, but it made me think about something. So I'm going to tell you about it anyway. I saw the story that Vitamin Water is running a contest where it'll give someone, one person, $100,000 if they can go all year without using a smartphone or a tablet. They'll give them a 1996 era cell phone. And if they can be verified that they haven't touched a smartphone or tablet, theirs or anyone else's, they'll get $100,000. If after 6 months they just can't stand it anymore, they'll still get $10,000. And only one contestant is going to be chosen January 22nd. But that made me think, man, this has become a marketing tool for companies. Like, hey, we all know we should cut down on our screen time. And we all know it's really hard to do. I will give you $100,000 if you do it. And so instead of just talking about like, hey, how bad is it that people have screen time issues? I wanted us to be introspective here on this show ourselves and play along at home if you'd like. Do you think you have a screen time problem? Because the problem with anything like this is usually going, yeah, people need to cut down on that. Of course, I don't have that problem.
Sure.
Justin, let's start with you. How do you think you fare with your screen time addiction?
Well, Tom, what do you say we just go to the numbers? I will show you yours if you show me.
You're
mine.
A C on the DISC personality assessment test, I see.
All right, here we go. This, according to my iPhone, for the last 7 days, a progressive rolling jackpot of 5 hours, 22 minutes per day.
What? What?
Says over five, the last
5 hours, 22 minutes per day. Sarah, you were surprised at the amount, up or down?
I'm 1 hour, 34 minutes per day.
Oh, yeah.
I am on my computer a lot.
Those are rookie numbers. We need to get those numbers up.
Because I was like, oh, God, you know, I'm spending an hour and a half looking at my phone every day. Yeah. Please, Sarah. But you're just doing a lot more on your phone than I am. I'm sitting in front of my laptop.
I thought I was real good. I'm right here in the middle of you both. 3 hours and 9 minutes per day.
No, look, my phone is the gateway to my entire life. You know, I think screen time is something that is a very, very tricky thing to talk about. And obviously there are very clear examples of where this can be harmful in younger developing minds. I think that there is a tendency.
Problems with insomnia.
There are those elements there. However, I do think that it is at its heart a misleading statistic, because there is a difference between farting around on your phone, which is something that I definitely do quite a bit, and doing business on my phone, which I also do quite
a bit. Yeah.
You know,
every addict about the thing they don't want to give up, though.
Well, but all right. So look, I have.
What's your most used app?
Instagram.
Twitter.
And Pocket Camp. And
it's embarrassing, too, because it's like, okay, well, I'm averaging 54 pickups. Picking up my phone per day.
Yeah.
Most of those are going to Instagram. So even though, yes, there is work being done on my phone, absolutely. Huh. Although I really do prefer to sit in front of my laptop for most things, when I'm just kind of doing my Monday through Friday work. Clearly on my phone, I'm not really doing that much work.
This is interesting. I have 50 pickups per day, but I have significantly more time spent.
Oh, yeah. I have 128 pickups per day.
That's a lot.
Justin Robert Young.
I think pickups, I mean, you have to figure screen time in there, too. But I think pickups is one of the things where it causes stress, because you're like, pick up, look. Oh, interrupt. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't end the vast majority of my day by myself. Like,
me,
you know,
too.
Yeah, then again, I guess we all do. I have a problem.
I sit alone with my animals all day.
You have birds, we have dogs.
Episode Sarah's of cats too. Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, but I also think that this is misleading, because, you know, I'm giving you a hard time. You're just better at mobile than I am getting things done. You know, sitting in front of a computer is not being counted into all this stuff.
I'm certainly better at Twitter, as I've spent 10 hours and 7 minutes over the
last 7 days
on Twitter. Justin Robert Young.
I love Twitter.
I spent an hour, 31 minutes on Twitter over the past 7 days.
Oh man,
I have spent very little time. In fact, I've been actively avoiding Twitter these days, because it just, I don't know, it's soul crushing. But some of the apps that I don't even want to name some of them, I'm like, Sarah, you need to get out and about.
I will put it out there. I am ashamed, but I'll put it out there. My number one app is Pocket Camp, the Animal Crossing game. Okay. My phone.
Well, I thought you meant Pocket Cast.
No.
Pocket Camp.
No. Pocket Camp. 4 hours and 30 minutes on Pocket Camp, because the phone for me is a deal with a emergency and or relax and entertain myself device.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Pocket Camp is number one. Number two is Feedly, because I use this to look at the RSS feeds when I'm preparing for the show quite often. Yeah. Then Safari, which is probably concomitant with that. Then Twitter, then BBC News, which is my news source every morning, hour and 25 minutes. Amazon, because it's Christmas time. And then uTalk, which I just installed last week because I'm teaching myself a foreign language on there. So I look at these and I'm like, yeah, I think that's all okay.
Yeah. So mine are this is the top 10 here. Twitter at 10 hours, 7 minutes. These are a week's worth of statistics. Safari, 4 hours, 4.5 hours. Shopify, 3 hours.
Work.
Solid 3 hours of work that I spent on Shopify. Hearthstone, 2.5. Messages, 2.5. Instagram, 1.5 hours. Yeah. And then they get into.
Wow, you know what's most interesting in my stats? And it's funny. We've had this feature, but I really haven't looked at it in great detail until we decided to all do this on the show today. I am very anti-notification. I have notifications turned off for almost everything because I just can't stand it.
Yeah.
And I do find it very distracting. However, that being said, I average around 109 notifications per day.
Oh, man.
Now, it doesn't mean that I'm, if I get an Instagram notification that somebody DM'd me, like, I'm not necessarily always going in there.
But
doesn't
that's
mean
stress that it's inducer.
You know, triggering an action necessarily, yeah. But it is there. And that surprises me because I like to pride myself on, oh, yeah, notifications are always turned off. I just do stuff on my own time. But yeah, that's not really true.
I have 227 notifications per day.
Wow. Per day. I have 53 per day.
Well, Tom, aren't you just so much better than
me? Well, I lost in all the other categories. But notifications is the biggest cause of stress out of your phone. Again, yeah. And this is what goes back to what
I agree.
Because screen time doesn't mean the same thing, as Justin pointed out for everybody. Yeah. It's not just screen time. It's like, is that the kind of screen time that's causing stress? And I think this conversation is having a positive effect by showing like, hey, you could have a lot of screen time, but low stress because of the way you're using it. Yeah.
Most of my notifications are Discord, which I do need to kind of keep an eye on and tend a garden with the communities that we've created there. I probably could use less notifications in inbox, but you know, then WhatsApp as well, because we just started a new business.
Mine are messages, Slack, and Patreon. They're all work related, and then the NHL. That's my number four.
You know, I feel like there are certain times where I'm using my phone or a laptop or a computer of some kind, to the point where I'm like, yeah, I got to get away from the screen. And then there are other times where I feel, you know, I've been reading books and looking at nature, and you know, it kind of depends on the day. However, I do find that, for example, I took my dog to the dog park yesterday and I just forgot my phone. I don't know. I left it on the table and didn't realize it until I was there, and I was already there. So I was going to be there for a while. And it was like, I had such a hard time just like sitting there and like dealing with life without the phone, just knowing that I didn't have it. And that's the thing that gets me the most. It's not so much that I needed it for anything. It's just that as soon as I realized it wasn't there, I was super stressed.
Yeah.
I could not relax.
No, I know what you mean.
And that's a little weird.
That. Yeah.
Sure. One note on this vitamin water thing. They said they want to give a 1996 cell phone. The most popular cell phone in 1996 was the Nokia 8110, right? Which had the slide case. So it was before they went to the full candy bar. Mm. It had the slide case just in case you were.
Might be worth doing just for that. Buttons. Yeah.
I had a Motorola something or other in 1996.
I had no phone. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, there weren't. Not a lot of people had cell phones, and it was probably about 400 pounds. Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. Sometimes there are Nokia stories, and sometimes there aren't. You can submit your own stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. If you hang out on Facebook, we'll hang out in our Facebook group. Why don't you? Facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
What's in the mailbag, Sarah?
Well, you know, if you listen to DTNS, but you aren't familiar with Good Day Internet, which sort of wraps around DTNS in its own candy case of sorts, we got a real nice email from Hal, who said, if you don't listen to GDI, just take my word for it. Thank you so much for entertaining and brightening the day of this lone desktop warrior. Always upbeat, friendly, and clean banter. And then I get informed. What a daily pleasure.
Aww,
so not to toot our own horn too much, but I thought, well, that was real nice.
Thank you, Hal.
Yes. And thank you also to Justin Robert Young for being with us today. 2 days in a row, in fact. Well, I guess I'm a little out of order. Never
one
mind.
Of those days is coming up at the end of December, but yeah.
What's been going on since we saw you last week, Justin?
Oh, Sarah, I'm so glad you asked. folks, I've been, you know, of course, staying on my political grind with the Politics, Politics, Politics podcast. And my free political newsletter at freepoliticalnewsletter.com. So you can go ahead and sign up for both there. A new episode yesterday talking about all of the craziness that is currently going on with the Mueller investigation, and some international flair as Europe is going through some things. They are in their feeling, as the kids say.
And a Macron pole dance as well. So
there is. We go across the pond for a prime minister. No, a president, Emmanuel Macron, presidential approval pole dance.
Yeah. Check it out, folks. Freepoliticalnewsletter.com makes my day brighter. It can make your days brighter, too. Also, if you're an associate producer of patreon.com/DTNS, you've got a new column from me. encouraging you to declare notification bankruptcy. If all this talk about screen time got you like, I need to do something, I've got a plan for you to manage your notifications. Check it out. It's at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you've got feedback for us, well, we've got an email address for you, and that is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday. Join us if you can, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC, and find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Nocilla Cast's Allison Sheridan. Talk to you then.
Woohoo!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.